The Screen Lawyer Podcast is brought to you by Cape Sokol Attorneys at Law.
On this week's episode of the Screen Lawyer Podcast, I'm joined by Jeremy Corey, Executive Vice President of Digital Engagement at Cool Fire Studios, and my good friend and one of the funniest people I know.
That's welcome, Jeremy. A lot of pressure, but let's share some war stories,
shall we? All right. We are going to dig into Jeremy's fantastic career, which includes Voltron. Stick around. Welcome to the Screen Lawyer Podcast, at the intersection of the entertainment world, intellectual property law, and emerging technology, where we discuss legal and business issues surrounding any type of content that ends up on your screens. I'm your host, Pete Salsic, the Screen Lawyer. Hey there, welcome to the Screen Lawyer Podcast. I'm Pete Salsic, the Screen Lawyer. And today I'm joined by my good friend, Jeremy Corey. Jeremy is the Executive Vice President of Digital Engagement at Cool Fire Studios, and he is not only a good story, he's a good storyteller. Welcome.
All the pressure. That's right. Like this American life, suddenly. I'll bring my Ira Glass voice.
Oh, yes. That's what we want. We'll have a number of voices that we go
We can do it on this week's episode of The Screen Lawyer. Pete from Cape Sokol coming down. On the Screen Lawyer.
We've been threatening to do this for a while, Pete.
We have.
I want you to know when you regret it, and we should establish a safe word from the top. Kilimanjaro.
Okay, all right. If you hear that, folks, later on, there'll probably be an uneven cut,
and
we'll come back.
Exactly.
We'll be appropriately chastised.
We'll fix it in post by Chris.
Yeah. Fix it in post. That's right. That's in fact, I learned the words fix it in post.
Yeah.
From my days of being starting in this world as a screen lawyer, first with Cool Fire Studios.
Absolutely. The people that love fix it in post are the editors. You know?
Right.
They say, no, why don't you fix it on the set?
Right. In other words, and I remember sometimes having to say, fix it in post doesn't work when you have footage that has stuff in it you can't use because you didn't get the rights in the first place.
Yes, we can get into all of that. Yeah.
You don't want to, that can't be fix in post sometimes.
Right.
Without blurring, and then the network doesn't want blur.
Right.
Et cetera, et cetera.
You've been through it all.
That's true. But we're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves, only because I think I want to reach back a little bit tell the audience a little bit more about you and your fascinating story. When we first met, and I don't know if you remember this.
I remember everything. It's a curse. I'm like an M. Night Shyamalan movie.
Well, all right. This is going to be good.
Yeah.
So we were, I think it was before you came to Cool Fire.
Yeah.
But my partner, Mike Kahn, and I were working on some projects with Voltron. And you were one of the early, you were involved in the early creation of the bringing it back. Just tell the story.
Well, you know, growing up in Highland, Illinois, across the river, always I was making zombie movies on VHS, editing, you know, Robert Rodriguez style, where you had to hit play and then hit record. Those who were there can remember putting in, you know, Super Nintendo sound effects, right? It was dark days shooting on the VHS tapes. But we loved it, and we thought it was totally amazing. So got to go to film school in Carbondale down there and actually cut on film and, you know, ran a student TV station there, SPC TV, which was YouTube before YouTube. There was no outlet for this stuff. So we were making movies with friends, and your rating system was how much do you get recognized in the cafeteria? You know, we pulled a 0.5 or something rating there. We got recognized. So we had fun. We'd show movies
from
Swank
Motion
Pictures. So
that was your version of pictures. Subscribers or likes or
It was awesome. The cafeteria. Just making content. And really the reason to go to film school, a lot of it is the content. Or I'm sorry, the contacts you'll make. Right? The community that you build.
Right,
You know, we often say, like, the technical side, you can pretty much learn in a weekend, right? No offense, Chris, right? But it's true. I can go to a 48-hour film fest, but it's the context. It's learning how to work with people. It's learning how to put people in positions of strengths and just finesse and woo folks. So after that, looked at Chicago. I'd done some time in Los Angeles working on the Young and the Restless soap opera. I wasn't so much into that. And, you know, said to my mom, said, why don't you stick around St. Louis? I said, what does St. Louis have but Voltron, because I knew that Voltron came from, a lot of folks don't know this, KPLR, Channel 11, back in the day, my former boss, Ted Koppler, was looking for programming and came across a show that was actually going to be three different shows, a la Robotech, for those nerds. We're getting nerdy here. Warning alert, spoiler alert. Robotech, Battle of the Planets, okay? All of these folks were grabbing anime and repurposing it and dubbing it in English and syndicating the content. So it was going to be three different shows, Armored Fleet Dirugger, Albagos, and a show called Daltanius. And Daltanius had a robot lion on the chest of the robot. And through a mistranslation, they sent them a show called Beast King Go Lion, which fans know as Voltron. And the legend is when Ted saw that, said, my goodness, this is the one. And it was a huge hit. And I think a very unexpected hit that led to consumer licensing. So any of my 80s babies out there certainly know Voltron.
Yeah,
and there's
absolutely
hot spots for it. And they did 52 episodes. It was stripped. And then they had to go back and make another season of this, but all the animators were gone by then because the show had aired in Japan in like 1980. So they did the second season in Korea and expanded it, and it was, you know, a legend ever since. So I was on the other side of the TV, but had an opportunity in 2003 when I joined Coppler Communications to work on resurrecting the brand, as it were.
Right, right.
And a lot of it had to do with legally untangling
the
rights from Lionsgate. And I'll let Bob Coppler, hopefully a future guest, get into some of that.
Right,
and he
did
a magnificent job. And is the real reason why Voltron came back. Because as you know, a lot of these contracts are very onerous, right? And the Lionsgate home video deal had first rights of refusal of a movie in there. So we had to unclog all of that. Then it brought it back to DVD. A lot of folks had those beautiful steel DVD tins from Media Blasters. So it was an awesome, you know, front row view to intellectual property and the power of a brand that lasts decades. And you just be able to call up and, you know, it was a brand that sold itself because there was just so much love for it. I remember calling Sony Pictures and just going, Voltron, come on in, let's do an office meeting. And haven't looked back. Had a chance to produce a show for Nickelodeon's Nicktoons in 2011. We gathered up tax credits, did a lot of pre-production in Canada through Jason Netter's company, Kickstart, and got to work with Mattel, got to go to San Diego Comic-Con, and just live that geek life. So it was a fantastic run, but always knew the folks at Cool Fire, always helped them host Halloween parties or anywhere in between that are quite legendary.
Sorry, legendary. Glad most people don't have their
phones out then. Yeah, your flip phone wasn't recording back then.
That's
we're going
right.
to need you to bring
Thank
that
goodness.
Track phone and bring it back to Radio Shack. So it's been awesome to be, I guess, a Gen X and see all the progression of screens and technology, and particularly video, and just really the evolutionary.
Yeah, you really have. And that's kind of fascinating. You think about it because you really started talking about literally shooting on VHS, all of that, and then I think the story and where we met was when I was working with Mike and helping you guys analyze some of those IP issues when you're first getting it out. And then when you came to Cool Fire, then I had moved there as legal counsel, and we were getting into television and new
pumping
shows.
Them out. Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you showed up with this digital engagement movement. And I thought that was fascinating at the time because, you know, we were – And it was, you talk about an evolution of how the industry works. You know, for a while, first Cool Fire just made commercials.
Yeah.
Right? Advertising agencies hired them.
Yeah.
They were pros. They shot the commercial, produced it, all of that. Then they get into original programming. And that's when I joined, and we were getting, you know,
release forms and.
Well, yeah, and doing, getting all the rights and the production legal. But we were selling a show to a network.
Yeah.
It was a one-way path.
Work for hire.
Work for hire. If the network bought it, they paid for everything. They owned everything.
Yeah.
And we, you know, did all the contracts. And if it was on time and on budget, the company made a fee.
Right.
But it was still a one-way path.
Yeah.
And then the concept of branded content starts coming out. And people want to start getting onto other platforms besides spending the brands instead of just spending their money on a television commercial.
Right.
Which you have no idea to measure if people really use that commercial and went
into
the store.
There you go. Getting into that.
Right.
Attribution. Let's talk for attribution for 2 hours.
exactly. And what a challenge it was. So all of a sudden there was this opportunity, to take brand storytelling in a new way. And of course, then how do you find the audience? And that's where you guys came in.
Well,
so much, right?
Yeah. And, you know, Jeff Keane, founder of Cool Fire, is very good at hiring, you know, investing in people, right? And then we'll figure 100%. Out the business plan later. And originally my job was to sell shows to the internet. Unquote. It was. I was going to be Steve, who's been on the program, for the internet. And if you remember, there was this window of time where the MCNs, multi-channel networks, the Maker Studios, DreamWorks TV, came on board with a rather lewd homage that Bob Coppler and I had created to 80s toys. It was our revenge, the Man Blasters, and sold that. People paid us U.S. dollars for this. I think Cool Fire got a little cut, something. To Maker Studios had a comedy channel, Nacho Punch. And this is back when all the YouTube channels, the PewDiePie, right? YouTube's having a moment. I mean, it's growing up. Right. It's exploding. And we sold a show to a little show called Toby McBeard, a little animated piece that Wes Morrell had done, Mike Kearns, to DreamWorks TV, which was their YouTube channel.
Right.
And, you know, it's good if you and I are in an apartment, you know, $3,000 or something like that an episode, but it's not truly a business plan. That's good for pizza money and, you know, right. some weed or something. I don't know if that's where you're going. But instead, we realized, and to your point, and I have to thank, you know, folks like Jenny Dibble and Dion Joffre, who did the show Thrift Shop Divas.
Yeah.
And Thrift Shop Divas was a great on show. YouTube.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was the first time I remember seeing TrueView YouTube targeted. And suddenly now you're able to meet viewers where they are. And brands were waking up to the fact that they're all essentially micro TV stations and publishers. Right. So Brian Sawyer, who I just had lunch with yesterday, came in wanting a website for Build-A-Bear. And I said, what about this phone? My kids are eating up YouTube. Like, your channel needs to be programmed to it. So he's like, what do you got in mind? So I said, it's got to be Bear with a blog, right? And they have a Bear, you know, Bear Me and Sharon Johns and Maxine Clark, Build-A-Bear, fantastic brand who we still work with to this day. Came in, I did a whole, you know, I called my puppeteer roommate from college, right, as one has, you know, got him on speed dial. I said, boy, I finally got a gig for you. And he's amazing. Mike Hackett can make these bears do all kinds of things. And you can see the outtakes where they're making out and all kinds of dirty stuff. Sorry. And so that became Bearville Alive. And it really was a kind of a evolution of Bearville, which was their kind of Club Penguin thing. And there are still folks to this day who will never forgive us. It's one thing I learned at Voltron. There are some fans with long memories out there. And you'll recall what we got into together was YouTube has this moment and all of this content, particularly kids' content, is blasting out there and it is exploding.
Right.
It's the launch of YouTube Kids, which was their separate app to kind of control some of this stuff because it got crazy fast. And just parents like me, like suddenly you're watching Spider-Man and Elsa make out. Like, what is happening here? Like, there was no, it was the Wild West of kid content. So that's good and bad. There's a lot of creativity out there. But when you're doing things for a brand, they want to make sure that it's all fairly buttoned up. So as you recall, this was around the time where comments then got shut off for, you know, any video featuring any kid under I don't know, 16, something like that. And we were a launch partner in YouTube Kids, thanks to the Bearville Live show. Right. And to this day, the Bearville Live has such a long tail, long bear tail of views to it that they're re-uploading episodes.
Yeah.
And we're talking about maybe doing some future content. Oh, so that was the first thing. And you remember HIPAA coming into play. Copacabana. That's right.
The Children's Online Privacy Protection Act.
And we had to really go deep on that.
With Build-A-Bear's lawyers with us and working through kind of what it meant to be marketing for children on the internet.
Absolutely.
What the rules were. How it applied, the kind of notifications, the ability to get parents, the ability to say, turn it off, and all of those things.
Kind of a, hey kids, this is a commercial for Bearville.
I mean,
side effects may include hugs, cuddles, tickles. No tickles. They aren't on the list.
But it was interesting because, and this is so funny because you and I had these conversations many times, and there's that tension between the lawyer saying, hey, there's like some lines.
Right.
And you're like, okay, but what if I say it like this?
Right.
Well, what if I blur over here? What if I just took one leg over the fence?
Yeah.
What if I, you know, there's always that that sort of edge. And to me, one of the most enjoyable parts of my job often is to try to make sure that we can avoid the trouble, but recognize that creativity's got to be there or else there's no eyeballs.
Right.
And so how do you do those things? And I think a lot of it comes to that education. Like, when COPA, we're like, what is this thing? Okay, we dug in. We built it into the contracts. We spent time internally making sure you guys, all of your creative people, knew where the lines were and workshop some, well, if we do this, this is okay. If we do this, it's not.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to, so then you're not into a situation where you fall in love with footage you can't use, the client's not going to pay for, or that sort of thing. So
it's like falling in love with your temp music. Yeah, you can't do that. Or the lead actress. Or actor. I don't know. It's a different way. It's different sets now. It's so fun. You recall that the Build-A-Bear success led to our friends at Sepia, who had come out with the Zuzu Pets. Right. Yes, a big brand, another in St. Louis, Russ Hornsby, formerly of Trendmasters. So I was on the other side buying, you know, Iron Giant toys and all the cool stuff. And that's fantastic. You should have some of those folks on the show to talk about all the old IP and the stories of Independence Day, Godzilla, all of these toy lines. So he had launched the Zuzu Pets. I had some friends that I'd worked with at Koppler that went over there and had made helped create the Zuzu Pets, which were those hamsters that I think parents around, I don't know, 2005 or so, huge hit. I mean, this was a $1 billion brand.
Right.
And they have creative toys. They were coming out with these charm bracelets, Charm You. So we led to a full line of different YouTube shows. We found this specialty with kids' YouTube programming. And I remember us doing the Charm You show. And all we had was hands of this little girl, Madison, and she's talking, and a vivacious actress, and she's got them all. And this little Beth Ashby, our art director, made this just micro world, right? And this thing blew up.
Yeah.
And there were kids on the comments saying, like, I think I know you. You know, do you go to my school? You know, and as a parent, you're a little scared. I mean, it's just, it is a line, and we've got to protect our kids first and foremost. But boy, it just showed the power. I remember just like, there's a responsibility in this, in creating this content.
I think that's a powerful way to think about it.
Yeah.
And that you do have to think about that. I mean, I think, you know, we all are responsible for the content we put out there. A lot of times you'd think, well, clearly nobody's thinking that up on my feed.
But yeah.
When you're talking about doing it professionally,
yeah.
When you're talking about doing it for brands,
yeah.
You know, clients paying the company to produce storytelling for them, you get into a lot more of this. And then that kind of led into the world of the social media influencers.
Yeah.
And I remember the first time we had to, you know, like, I learned the term, I think, from your team. And then we had to create a social media influencer agreement. Well, what does that have to say?
Yeah.
Oh, Federal Trade Commission guidelines, truth in advertising.
Yeah.
Hashtag sponsor.
Yeah.
You know, all those things about it.
Might have been the Farmland Bacon Club with the Rydell brothers.
Very well may have been.
Which was a move, you know, DJ, Cool Fire president, had brought in those folks. And really early on in the, you know, YouTube influencers coming to direct, because they're all, you know, a lot of them at heart are filmmakers. So they did a whole Farmland Bacon Club.
Right.
Cannonball was the agency on that. And we kind of showed how to do, you know, the thumbnail strategies and you know, the pre-rolls. And so finally, brands, you have that 1-2 punch of creative video production and smart targeting with it. So, yeah, it was a whip that led ultimately to our lawyer friends at Brown and Crouppen, who had come in for a pizza commercial. Did you know that? For Lena's Pizza?
I didn't remember that.
Yeah. They all came in for, we had done a show called Oven Confessionals, where everyone is confessing their darkest secrets to a pizza in the oven. I don't know, kind of a Conan O'Brien thing. We had the Rizzuto crew on theirs, and those blew up. And then I think Nick over at Emo's, his stepdad or step-uncle is Terry Crouppen. You know his law firm, Brown and Crouppen. And they came in, and it was Andy, Terry, and this guy, Ed, who I had no idea.
Right.
I thought he was like Ed Brown. No one knew, you know, the Brown.
Just,
rest in peace, Ron Brown. And I remember Ed just going off, and I was like, who is this Paul Giamatti, Larry David, St. Louis guy? This guy's so funny.
Right.
You know? And then I went to his office, which looks like Planet Hollywood, right? I mean, he's got, oh, there's the phone from Fast Times at Ridgemont High. I mean, this is just like, it's kind of Tom Hanks and Big in real life. Like, whatever. Right. You know, he's just a big kid at the end of the day. That led to, it wasn't even in the original pitch, was BCTV. I remember just saying BCTV over and over until I heard Terry say it back to me, right? When are we filming BCTV? I was like, oh my gosh, this is now going to be a thing. We filmed that trailer with them, and they're just naturally hilarious. And I remember thinking, if folks just had lunch with you all, they would, you know, everyone knows you, but like, what are they? It's that brand love that Ed thinks about.
Right.
It's that next level, right?
Right?
And especially in lawyer marketing, I mean, if you want to buzzword it, we're trying to humanize. We're trying to make folks approachable.
Absolutely.
And Ed's natural talent, creativity, he's brilliant. And just discovered that he had all these blogs. He was writing, you know, he'd written even books about, you know, where does Dracula get his clothes? This is before Amazon, when all the clothing stores are closed. And he just emanates content, right? He's just, and you hear him now, he's having a lot of success on the morning after show.
Right.
He's a natural, just very magnetic personality. So I remember coming up with a pitch for Ed versus the movies. and it was going to be, you know, Ed V movies, right?
Right.
Lawyer. And we did The Dark Knight, right? How many laws does Batman break in The Dark Knight?
Right.
Let's start with those tinted windows, huh? And then he went through and just broke down
all
of the things. And this became, you know, a big hit.
That became like its own little micro genre.
Absolutely.
Right?
I mean, breaking it down. But he took it so much further as far as like when it started going into his passion points, which turns out snacks, cereal, you know, he has a hot
the middle seat on an airplane.
Oh my God, that was next level. And I have to thank like Josh McNew, who came from Vat 19, which is another St. Louis brand up there, you know, 7 million subscribers, nine, I don't know, maybe the time it took for my, coming out of my mouth, they've got 2 million more subscribers. But Ed took it, and I think the cereal video was really the breakout.
Right.
And the way we filmed it and him mixing cereal, he's the cereal mixologist, and that just blew up. And then he did another one on, you know, Ed versus Candy, and then we had to come back to the cereal. So that led to Ed getting invited to speak on different panels, which led to us working with other law firms around the country, from McDivitt in Colorado to DeMeo to Miley Legal out of West Virginia. We're now working with a law firm out of D.C. You recall us working with Thomas J. Henry out of Texas on Hanging with Los Henrys.
Yeah.
And really made that's a whole other story as far as creating YouTube stars out of their kids. Yeah. And suddenly she's in the Old Town Road music video. And I mean, it just blew up.
Right.
The lawyer famous for the, how much? $8 million quinceanera? 15. I don't know.
That episode is crazy, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. And the band, it was late and showing up.
Migos and all that.
Yeah, Migos. Yeah. I remember telling my kids, is it something Migos?
And they're supposed to like
be paid in cash. And my kids are like, Migos, I love Migos.
I know.
Oh, I don't even know this.
It's real, yeah. We still do work with his firm, and it's just very high end. So that led us into the world of legal marketing, and it's been fantastic. And we're finally kind of putting it all together and branding it Cool Fire Law Stars, right?
Yeah.
Where it's not every lawyer, but we've got to go beyond these billboards, right? We've got to go beyond the 30s. And you can just drive up and down the interstate and see how much competition, you know, out there.
Yeah.
And so that led to Jeff Keane, who has a personal relationship with Jim Onder, Onder Law, getting into more personal injury. So did some videos for him around, I had done a sketch in college around cereal mascots gone bad, right? They had the holding tank. Because if you think about it, right, the Trix Rabbit, he's just kind of an addict, right? He's just kind of this, he had to get clean. He wants the Trix, man. And he will do anything to get those, but those damn kids are not going to let him, you know? So we had, you know, the boxing brand bunny and all the mascot, you know, castaways, right? Hanging out. And so I thought that really translates to insurance mascots. And I'm sure folks have done this kind of campaign, but we happened upon some fantastic local improvers like Rafe Williams and was able to tap into that with the Mascot Mastermind Club, which is a play on, I don't know if I'm revealing secrets, but a lot of the lawyers will have their mastermind groups, right?
Oh, right.
Where
they
compare marketing and hey, what's working, what's not. Right. So it's a bit of a play on that.
Yeah, it's perfect. It's perfect. And it's brilliant. It's and I think that's so fascinating that you've kind of, you know, as you do, you find, I think you, if you're going to be successful, obviously you can scattershot and you've walked us through a whole wide range of storytelling and different connections. And I've done a lot of it in my career. I've evolved. But you sort of start this when you see things, okay, this resonates.
Right.
And if this resonates, it's going to resonate with others. And now there's a market. I mean, we're part of it. You are sitting here today.
Creating
this
content.
This is clearly legal marketing.
Right.
Right, for my practice.
Right.
No question about it. Hopefully it's also entertaining and educational and everything else. But it is part of, as you said, humanizing.
Yes.
The lawyer. And so when people have to hire a lawyer, people,
you
know, some hopefully in our practice, often it's at an exciting stage because they're beginning to create something.
Right.
Right. But I've been on the litigation side, and that's very much a part of a lot of times when people have to deal with a lawyer, it's at a pain point in their life. Right.
Yes.
And so a billboard with a bunch of zeros on it and make money and don't pay and all these things
it's everybody. Right.
Right. And so how do you differentiate?
Right.
How do you take your harmed self or your child or whomever, your loved one, and decide that this person is going to be my representative in this fight. And so I think if they feel like I
connect with that person,
I'd like to have a sandwich with that guy.
Yeah.
Then that's a big reason.
And let's face it, half the, more than half, 95, 98% of the folks watching are not going to be in need of legal services at the time. And while it's not all sandwiches and cereal, there is ways of empowering, educating folks. So we like to think of it full funnel, right? So we do shows like for Tim Miley, we do Tiger Talks. Sean Malloy came in for In Your Corner with Malloy In Your Corner. So that's a new series that'll be launching. Mm-hmm. We're doing others. It's all them coming in and humanizing it, talking about legal issues. We try to get a nice portfolio where it may be something fun on lottery laws and, you know, what are the laws of office pool lotteries? And then down to, well, let's demystify terminology around that. So if you are needing a lawyer, at the end of the day, you're a little more empowered. And there is something special about, you know, folks getting themselves out there. So it's not for everyone, you know, lawyers that aren't afraid to put themselves out there to show a little bit of their character. At the end of the day, yeah, it's character, you know, cases, you know, and community, right? Yeah. A lot of the firms give back and are doing great things. So if you can shine a spotlight on that too and just show that, you know, these are people. This isn't some, person in a suit on a billboard.
Well, and you said, you know, at any given time when you're doing it or it's first launched, 99% of the people aren't going to be in at that point.
Right.
But what you're also doing, and somebody gave me this term years and years ago when it came to legal blogging when I first started, but think of it as an archive of expertise.
Love it.
You're not trying to get, who cares if you get how many comments of that day or whatever. That's great. Yeah. And certainly building an audience that's reactive and in real time and looking forward is a goal. But often I've found over the years that if somebody finds you or looks you up or gets referred or something at a certain point when they need it and they can go and find you, oh, look at there's 14 videos or 45 or 200 or there's these series, then at their own leisure, they can look through those and decide what they think about you or whether they can resonate with you. And so by putting it up there, it doesn't matter if somebody's looking at you right then and doesn't need you.
Right.
But over time, you're building up this entire way that people can find you in a different direction.
Yeah. And it, you know, it does work. At the end of the day, it's about cases. And, you know, for instance, Miley Legal did a whole campaign with him in starting in fall of 22 around Tiger Talks. His, you know, mascot, his thing is the tiger, right? So it's him in a law firm office demystifying the way we edit it, you know, is very much we were early on to subtitles. And we also did a program with him called Lawyer Jokes. Because Tim is creative. He likes to be creative. And I think that's what folks come to Cool Fire for, something sort of out of the box, burn in the box, and then throw it in the, and kick it in the sky kind of thing. And then, so lawyer jokes became a flip on, you know, the old adage of lawyer jokes. But we flipped it where it's insurance company jokes and just shot a scrappy little campaign down on the fourth floor in Cool Fire. And, you know, it became a big hit around him because it was something different. But then it also, you know, you can spin it where, hey, don't let the insurance company make a joke out of your claim. So, you know, since we've been working with Tim, his cases are up, you know, around 30% and have grown. So that's a way he can digitally maneuver around some of the competitors.
Right.
And really highlight when he comes in next month, we're going to do a video on West Virginia road trips, right? So that not only taps into folks looking to travel, but as you know, if you get into an accident in another state, you want to get that in-state lawyer. So it's endearing him. It's showing that him and his wife, Susan, who are like the loveliest people on earth, if you sit and talk with them, you just realize like these people have everyone's best interest in heart. This is not some, you know, soulless firm that is just going to go. These people have experience. Tim is a former politician in the best way, Speaker of the House, and just a sincere, great person. And you see that and it comes through. And then the move I like to do that I don't see a lot of folks doing is take this best of digital and put it on television. What I mean by that, there are, let's face it, affordable time slots, especially to a lawyer that is, you know, spending money. And then you assemble them into 30-minute cuts because there are folks like me who just still have an antenna, right? Yeah, we stream and things, but like there's also folks like Andy over here probably doesn't own a TV, okay? Or does, or her idea of television, it's probably her Netflix parents. I'm just joking with you, Andy. but that's redefined. So what television is these days, it's from newsfeed to TV screen, right? So you've got to figure out how to future-proof. How are you reaching folks who are starting to get into adulthood, right? And who want to your point, have that archive that they can tap into because they don't want to talk to a real person. They've done everything digital all their life, right? How can I just reach out there and empower and be connected? So, right. And that's what we're seeing with TikTok. It's went from dance videos to this is a real educational platform. Right. Now, whether it survives all the things right. going on in D.C., right. we'll see. But, boy, and yet another platform will come take its place, yeah. right?
Because
we've
I think
seen them all. But YouTube for right. us really has become such a consistency. So when we started promoting, I think the number one device was desktop and laptops that folks are consuming. Now it's a smart TV with YouTube on it. So.
Right. So, and this leads me to the question I like asking everybody. And in a way, we've wandered through your screens.
Yes, aimlessly.
No, I think there's clearly a direction. That's the beauty of it, right? Because yeah. You can have an aimless direction.
Yes, that's right.
I think that's right. And so, but one of the things I like to ask everybody on this podcast is because I one of the the underlying theme here is that everything ends up on a screen these mm-hmm. days, right? Mm-hmm. We do business on screens, we yeah. enjoy, we consume, we educate,
live
on mm-hmm. on and with our screens. So I like to know what if I just ask you the question, full stop, what's on your screen? That might mean any number of different yeah. screens to you at yeah. any given time, but what's on your screen?
It depends on the time of day. I would say Instagram, definitely. I think about this a lot as far as like, boy, the aggregate of humor and creativity out there. And I think the true social experience, I enjoy just, sharing a meme with a text group, right? And getting that feedback. So we're all like collectively sharing an experience or just making those little snackable micro laughs. Last year at the Midwest Digital Marketing Conference, did a whole panel on snack, bite, meal, right? Which is how I like to approach media and with our clients as well, right? So like Carshio, we do a road trip series with them called Drive On, and we do a long form series, right? So that's more lean back. You're watching this 10-minute episode of something that where they're traveling, and it's very, branded entertainment. But while we're there, we'll film some TikToks. We'll film some more car tips, right? And this next season coming up, we're going to go even a little harder into like, hey, do you know what CarShield is? Many folks don't know. Right. They're local. They employ a ton of people. Dan Pashota, former Cool Fire guys over there, he's created CarShield TV, a whole content program. Right. It's like a mini Red Bull television around it. So I'm fascinated by that world of snack, meal, bite. I think all of our Netflix queues, all of our Hulu, Peacock are just that long form that is, we all have those shows that are just backed up, right? So you've got to meet people where they are and they have to consume it how they want, right? So for me, I mean, just the endless Instagram scroll is just given my age and stuff, I've certainly dabbled in the TikTok, but boy, it's just fun to like have, and there's just micro audiences. And that's why, things like the omniculture, right? The monoculture where we all used to watch the last episode of Seinfeld feels quaint, and that doesn't feel right. like that long ago.
Right.
But now it's just like I can find things that are so tailored to me, right? Like
yeah.
retro gaming, YouTube, like this is, and the production quality is just right. fantastic on it. So well, I don't think we're that far off from, I keep saying, someone's making Lord of the Rings in their garage right now or close to it. And Bob Coppler, who we talk about, the Voltron, he's had a movie in development for a while. Like, you got to do it before someone just makes it, like a fan
right.
film.
No, that's right.
I mean,
it's
true. Out there.
The amount of content that's happening. And so one of the biggest challenge, obviously, for anybody is feeding their way through that noise to mm-hmm. get an audience.
Yeah.
But I love the way that you talk about your screen is a consumable sort of constantly yeah.
Pringles
refreshing.
Can. And we're all popping and not stopping, right? We're just on there. But
right.
then you lean back and you're watching, a fantastic Netflix series, or you're going to the Alamo Draft House where I'm a Passport member and you're experiencing something, last night I went and saw Dawn of the Dead from 1978 and loved it and just like had the shared experience in the movie theater.
The shared experience is still
yeah,
very cool.
It still is. And we are just living in the best of times and maybe worst of times. So it's the barriers to entry are so down. I used to have to go to the public access channel and beg them to play our, VHS things. But right. I think it can all work together. And I think brands are waking up to that concept of how this can all work. And, a word we use a lot is your ecosystem. So the smart brands are doing it. And the younger brands, there's those bigger brands that are, a little slower to move. And they're all in their different Game of Thrones things. And that's where these, we call them, the challenger brands are going to come in and build their businesses off of great content. and they're going to be the ones, you know, coming in. So we'll get into more of that stuff. Midwest Digital Marketing Conference in May. If you haven't been to it, it is a local one in the region, but I encourage, you know, driving in bestmarketingconference.com, I think it is. So you'll have to come on there.
I would love to do it.
All right. Well, queued up guests for the next 3 weeks.
You have literally given us so much to think about and talk about. This has been fantastic, Jeremy. Thank you very
much. Appreciate it. Thank you
for joining us. I hope everybody has enjoyed it. And you got a lot of cultural references out there, folks. So pause, hit refresh, go look up the reference, build your own library of geeky stuff.
And leave a comment below. Smash that subscribe button.
That's right. See, this is great. How do we do that? So what we say is we say, if you've enjoyed what you've heard today,
or not,
you like your audio pods as well. We're assuming you've enjoyed what you like today, and you get your podcast on audio. We are wherever you can find an audio podcast. So find us, follow us there. You can always find us on thescreenlawyer.com. And if you're watching on YouTube, hit that like and subscribe button so you'll get more of Screen Lawyer content. We publish episodes every other Wednesday at the Screen Lawyer Podcast. And we hope you'll join us. Thanks very much, Jeremy.
I'm going to follow right now on Spotify. I've been putting all
there
this
we go.
There.
See? Yeah. You're watching in real time.
There we go.
Be like Jeremy. Take care, folks. See you next time. You've been listening to the Screen Lawyer Podcast with your host, Pete Salsic, the Screen Lawyer. For more information or to stay connected, find us on social at the Screen Lawyer or check us out at thescreenlawyer.com.